Okay. Sunday morning, Parshas Emor. Eric and Nita Meyer, Women's Learning Division of Adas Yeshurin. Like everybody to please turn to, if you have a Chumash in front of you, yesterday's Parsha. And I would like to discuss an incredible Rashi with you that we've discussed in the past. And today I'd like to put it together. So first, Chaf Beis Pasuk Gimel. Chaf Beis Pasuk Gimel. The Torah is talking about Kol Ish Asher Yikrom Mikol Zarachim El Kadoshim Asher Yigdishu Bnei Yisrael Hashem V'tum Osli Olov. Anybody who's Tomei, when he brings Kachim, he's Tomei when he brings Kachim. So it says, V'nichraso ha-nefesh ahi milafonai. This person will be Chayiv Koris. And it says an interesting word, V'nichraso ha-nefesh ahi milafonai. This person will be torn asunder from Klal Yisrael milafonai, from in front of me, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem. We want to recognize number 04 who just joined us as well. Who is that?
He is.
Mrs. Korenberg?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. So Rashi says a very unusual thing here. Rashi says, Yochol mitzad ze litzad ze. I might think that Koris means moving a person from one side to another side. Yikoreis v'mkomo, making him leave his place. Yisyashe b'mochem acher, and making him sit somewhere else. There's a havamina. We all know that Koris means a person dies before 60. A person, Rachmana l'Islam, can lose his children, die before he dies. A person, it's a very difficult time having tshuva if he dies with a chi of Koris. And instead of all those, is the havamina that Koris might mean simply you have to be removed, cut off from your community by moving. Tambalei mani Hashem b'chol makom ani. No, I'm everywhere. So since I'm everywhere, therefore you can't, Koris cannot be simply by cutting me off, by making me move. So the question is, Rabbi Yisai, what havamina is there? What is the pshat? That people think that Koris means making me move, making one move from whatever, from Chicago to Toronto. Now I understand that nowadays with Zoom and email and Facebooks and texting and everything else that we have, one may not understand it b'chlal. But even when there were none of those technologies, what does it mean that moving from one city to another city is Koris? Person moves, the person moves with his family, the person can get support, the person can have a business. What does it mean that that's Koris? What does it mean that's Koris? That's the shaila. How does one understand that that could be a din of Koris? Anybody want to explain anything? Okay, let me try to say what I was makabel from the Reshiva Shlita. She was zeichel refuah shleima v'seishah chol Yisrael. The Reshiva learned in Lakewood for 22 years. 22 years. 1948 to 1970. Then he came to Yeshiva, then he became Reshiva in Long Beach. So the question is like this. He spoke at his goodbye party, so to speak, which is called the Sudas Prayed in Lakewood. He was a Talmud Muvik or a Baron Kotler, and he's moving out of Lakewood to become a Reshiva. So what does a person say under such circumstances? So of all things to say, he said over this Rashi. And the Reshiva, Shlita, whenever he spoke, Shlita, Refuah Shleima, Shechol Yisrael, would always speak with a clear message from a Divrei Chazal, one of the Rishonim, about what was called a Yesoid, a fundamental concept in Judaism. He chose this Rashi, and he said that one sees from this Rashi that a place in which one lives has a great impact both on the person and on the place. I'm giving you a few examples of the recognition of places. There's a very famous Rashi that you all know in Parshas Vayetze. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva says, Rashi, Lo Yitzorach Lichtoi Ve'lo Vayelach. What does it say, Vayetze? She Yitzias Tzadik Min HaMokoi. When a Tzadik leaves a place, Oysa Roshim. It creates an effect. She's not that Tzadik Be'er. Hu Hoide, Hu Ziva, Hu Adora. If he leaves, upon a Hoide, upon a Ziva, upon a Adora, the beauty, the splendor of the city leaves with him. So we see from here the effect of a makom that a person can have on a makom. So you see from here that a tzaddik has an effect, or a person has an effect on his makom. That's one side of the coin. The flip side of the coin is that a makom has an effect on a person. And that's what you see from this Rashi. I might think mitzadzeh letzadzeh, moving from one city to another city, is considered koris. Kamash malon, that's not enough for koris. But what's the havamin as we is? What's the havamin? What's the havamin? Like a pella. Mamash a pella. Now, earlier in Chumash, in Parshas Bo, Torah says in Yud Beis, Pasuk Tetzvav, it says, V'nichrasa ha-nefesh ha-imi Yisrael. V'nichrasa ha-nefesh ha-imi Yisrael. Rashi says, Kishibin, V'nichrasa ha-nefesh ha-imi Mi Yisrael, Shomeya ani tikores mi Yisrael, v'telach lo liamacher. That you should be removed from Klal Yisrael and go to another nation. Tamalim makom acher milafonai bechol makom shu bereshusi. There's another havamino la'alocha that it's shayach to be moitzi Yehudim to an amacher. Unbelievable halacha. That would also be considered chorus. It would also be considered chorus. Unbelievable concept. Once again, leaving the nation would be considered chorus. What is going on here? What is going on here? So I'd like to explain this with an incredible maisa that I once heard. And I checked out the validity, the integrity of the Maisa. I think I told you this Maisa before, but it's worth repeating now in light of what we're talking about. The Baal Shem Tov was walking with his Talmidim. He was walking with his Talmidim, the Baal Shem Tov. And one of his Talmidim and the Baal Shem Tov were walking together, and all of a sudden the Talmud told the Baal Shem Tov, I want to kill you. It's an unbelievable story. I want to kill you. So the Baal Shem Tov told his Talmud, listen, you're stronger than me. I cannot fight you. And if you want to kill me, there's nothing I can do. But please allow me to walk down. He pointed to a river. Let me wash my hands before I die. And the Talmud said, okay. They walked away from the spot towards the river, and the Talmud broke down wailing, crying, moaning, how in the world is it possible that I wanted to kill you? So the Baal Shem Tov told him that while we were walking, we walked over the spot where Cain killed Hevel. Whatever it means, we walked over the spot where Cain killed Hevel. That spot, that makom, absorbed the power of Ritzicha, of murder. The first and only murder in world history up until that time. It had a powerful negative effect on the karka. Nowadays, we can understand this maisa much better than I understood it initially. We all know that nuclear disasters can cause ground to become contaminated. We all know nowadays, hopefully at the end of the corona epidemic, that inanimate objects can absorb different things, pollutants that are in the world, germs, bacteria, etc. There's a havamina that the makom where a person is, switching it around now, the makom where a person is that is infused with kedusha. I said over a maisa of the Baal Shem Tov, let's say over a maisa of the Vilna Gaon. When the Gedolei Hador, in the late 1800s, I believe, went to Vilna and davened mincha in a shul. And he had an incredible tefillah. He was so shocked by the tefillah that he had that when he finished davening, he had to ask an elder yidul who davened in that shul, who lived near that shul, what happened to me? Why did I daven so incredibly well in this particular shul? And the elder yid, who was a gabbai, I believe, told him that the spot that you chose for mincha was a spot where the Vilna Gaon had once davened. The makom was infused with kedusha. And you, by having kavana, you got an extra shot, an extra boost of the kedusha that was implanted in that land by the experience of the davening of the Vilna Gaon. So the Rosh Yeshiva Shlita Shemizek Rafu Yishleim Yisrael Shechol Yisrael said at his goodbye party. Of course, I was not there and didn't hear it. I heard it over. He said at his goodbye party that when you have a makom Torah like Lakewood, which at that time was nowhere near the size it is today, a makom Torah like Lakewood, where people are learning Torah 24/7, or almost 24/7, the makom is infused with kedusha. When I was in Lakewood, I used to think about the room that I was standing in, how many thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, and by this time, millions of hours of Torah were learned in that room. What incredible kedusha. The analogy that we all feel, whether you're ever in Lakewood or not in Lakewood, is when you go to the Kaisel. We all know that that plaza was infused with millions and millions and millions and millions of tefillahs. And if a person is able to block things out and focus, he or she is able to be infused with incredible kavanah. Infused with incredible kavanah. This Rashi is teaching us an incredible concept. And the concept is that the inanimate object upon which a mitzvah is done, absorbs the kedusha to the extent that a person who's chayiv karis, which normally means, as we said earlier, dying, predeceasing, dying and being predeceased by one's children, rachmana litzlan, it's a pachad. So what is the pshat? It does a hava mean? No, it doesn't mean that. It means just moving. It's not just moving. It's being cut off from the source of a person's lifeline. Now, in shul, we've spoken about this also many times. In shul, most of us try to have a makom kavua to daven the same place we always daven. And It's a shaila whether you need it in the shul. I'll explain that in a moment. But at home, especially for the Nishay, Kodesh, the holy women of Adas Yeshurin, when you daven at home, you should always try to daven in the same spot. That should be your Mokum Kavua, because you have planted Kedusha in the spot where you daven. And it's the opposite of a vicious cycle. I'm sorry, I don't remember what, I never found a good word for it, a special cycle, whatever it is. That what can happen is, you daven in a spot, you fill that spot with Kedusha, you daven there again, you give it more Kedusha, and the Kedusha that's there previously comes back to you and gives you Kedusha as well. That's why it says, Kol Kaveya Makom L'Tvilasai. Elokei Avram B'Ezra, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokei Avram helps him. Why? Because when Avram Avinu davened, he had no Makom that had previous Kedusha to it. So when he davened, he put Kedusha into the Makom, and the next day when he davened there, the Kedusha that he put in through his davening came and helped him. So right now we have the same concept here. We can infuse a Makom with Kedusha. We said it when a tzaddik leaves the city. We said it with the Baal Shem Tov. We said it with the Vilnagoyin. We're saying it with this Rashi. Therefore, when a person, Chas V'Shalom G'B'Chayiv Koris, says, Ahava Minachiv Koris, means leaving the Makom. You're attached to the Makom. The Makom has your Kedusha, your signature in it. In Shul, there's a shaila if you need a Makom Kavua, because the entire shul has Kedusha. But we are knowing yes, because even though the Makom has Kedusha being a shul, but you add more Kedusha to the Makom by having a Makom Kavua. And therefore, women who come to shul that have a set seat in the Ezra's Nashim also have that concept. That's the concept of Makom. Makom, the Kedusha of Makom. The Kedusha of Makom. Now, I want to say something else, Rabbi. Is everybody here with me? Does everybody understand what I said until now? Does anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay, then. I appreciate it. But I also love questions, you know that. Now, I'd like to add. There is a story at the end of Parshas Emor. I don't believe I ever said this in my life. I was zoichet to it because of you. The story in the end of Parshas Emor, which is called the story of the Megadeth. If you have a chumash in front of you, Chof Dalet Pasuk Yud, Vayetzei ben Isha Yisraelis, a man, the son of a Jewish woman, who ben Ish Mitzri, but his father was a Mitzri. He went out Pesach Bnei Yisrael by Yinotzu Bamachane, and he got into a fight. Ben Yisrael is the son of the Jewish woman, V'isha Yisraeli, and a Jewish man. Doesn't say who the man was. By Yikov Ben Isha Yisrael is Hashem. And this man, whose mother was a Jew and his father was a Goy, cursed, euphemistically speaking, he blessed the Kodesh Baruch. By Yikal, by Yavio saw Moshe, he brought into Moshe. And then the Torah introduces and tells us, Shemi Moshlom is different than Matei Don. And they eventually killed him. Says Rashi in Pasuk Yud. Chof Dalet Yud. 24:10. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. Meichan Yotza. In previous years, we've spoken often about this. From where did he come out? Rashi says, we spoke about this in Pirkei Avos. We're not going to speak about that today. Rebrachia Oimer. Mi Parsha Shalomai Lo Yotza. He came out from the previous Parsha. What does that mean? Ligleg V'yomar. Bayoim HaShabos Yerchenu Derech HaMelech Lecho Paschamo. The Derech of a king is eat fresh bread every day. Fresh warm bread. B'chol Yoy. And now you're telling me that we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu loaves of bread from the Lechem HaPonim, which are 9 days old. Shema pas, soinenes, shaltisha yomim, we give the king, the melech malchi ha-melochim. We give him bread that's 9 days old. You couldn't understand. Umasnisa Amra, and here's the final pshat. Mi Beis Dino Shel Moshe Yotza. He left the Beis Din of Moshe. Mechuyav. What was his shaila? Bolita Aloi. He's a ger. His father's a goy. His mother's a Jewish woman. And this goyish Egyptian raped her. The only woman in all of the years in Mitzrayim who was attacked by a man. Which is a pelot gezach. So now he has no father. He went through a conversion process, which is incredible to understand. Somebody should convert to join the Jewish nation. A bunch of slaves. But he did. He said to them the following, I want to pitch my tent in Shave It Dun. Why Shave It Dun? Because as the pasuk concludes over here, his mother was Shlomis Bas Divri from Dun. So they told him, Amruloi Mativach Khan, what are you doing here, Amalem? Have they done any? I come from Dun. Amruloi Yishal Digloi Boiso Islamesa Boisom. Shave It is the term of my father. They went to a din Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu, nichnas lebeisa dino shel Moshe, v'yotza mechuyev, and he came out obligated. And he couldn't tolerate it. What do you mean obligated? I can't pitch my tent here. Wish I pitched my tent? Oman v'godav. I'd like to say something. In light of everything we just said, how is it possible for a person to live without a makom? Look at the effect the makom has on him, and look at the effect he has on the makom. So he came for a din Torah and said, I need a makom, I need to belong to Shave It Dun. And they told him, sorry, because your father is not from Shave It Dun, your father's a goy, therefore you don't get a chelik. He was incredibly upset. Incredibly upset. Everybody else has a makom. He has no makom. How can he be? What do you want from him? He has no makom. Even when Mashiach comes today, tomorrow, today, I am a Kohen, I will not get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, but I'll have a city. City. What's going on here? How can you live without a makom? The answer is, it's very difficult to live without a makom, very difficult to live without a makom, but I want to say something, Rabbi Yisai, which is both relevant and fundamental. It's very difficult to live without a makom. But when a Jew has a difficulty, a Jew perseveres and goes vita, he does not curse. It's not a Jewish trait. Ila Maisa, you don't understand what you're supposed to do. And you don't understand the fairness of the psak. And you don't appreciate not having a makom, and therefore you decide, Rahman al-Aslan, to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speaking euphemistically. That's not a mahalach. This past week, a very busy week, this past week I had to speak at a levaya for Mrs. Marilis. And I said over from Rav Hutner Zatzal. Rav Hutner Zatzal says an incredible yisoid also. He says in Klal Yisrael there are two types of Jews. Not, I repeat, not Gedolim, great Jews, and Ketanim, small Jews. We have Gedolim, adults, and Ketanim, children, like Rashi says in the first Rashi in Parshas Emor. But we don't have Ketanim and Gedolim, great Jews, and small Jews, big Jews, Gadol, Katan, small. We don't have such a thing. Again, for children are called Ketanim, but an adult Jew who does not know much Torah because he or she never learned yeshiva is not called a katan. Says Rav Hutner Zatzal, a Jew is called a pashut a yid, emuna pshuta, pshuteyam. Now why is it that a leader in Klal Yisrael is called a gadol, and a smaller person is not called a katan, he's called a pashut? Says Rav Hutner Zatzal, everything that the cotton encapsulates is in the gadol. The gadol can get nothing new from the cotton. Kol ma, b'chlal masayim mona. When a person has $200, $100 you want to entice him with, he already has. Let's talk about an additional. It's called B'chal Masayim Mana. However, says Rav Huttner Zatzal, not everything that a Poshet has does a Gadol have. And I explained that Holocaust survivors, who we give a name, survivors, Holocaust survivors, when we talk about the Kleisenberger Rebbe, Reb Motel Katz, Reb Shiva of Tells, Reb Elie Bloch, Reb Shiva of Tells, all three of them, each one of them lost more than 10 children in the Holocaust. And each one of them continued to build and grow. And if we think about it, we say, well, each one of them was a Gadol B'Yisrael. They understood the Chayvus Levavos. They know what Emunah means. As hard and difficult as it was, they can understand it and they can give it strength. But what about a Pashin Yid? Mrs. Marilis was a 10-year-old kid. Never learned yeshiva, didn't know what a Chayvus Levavos was. Never went into a deep discussion about Emunah B'Tochen. What is a person like that supposed to do? And the answer is, they're Pashin Yid. And a Pashin Yid means you make no cheshbonis. Anybody on the phone, does anybody on the phone remember Mr. Man? Mr. and Mrs. Man, anybody remember them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mrs. Man. Yes.
Mrs. Man. So I want to tell you what happened. Mr. and Mrs. Man had a son, a wonderful son, a talented son, a Talmud Chacham, a learner, a successful businessman. There's a shul in Flatbush, which is the Flatbush Minion Factory. It has his name on it. He died doing exercise. They found him, Nebuch, they found him no longer alive. I ran to the man's house. They had left and they were on the way to the airport. I chased them and I caught them in the car. And Mr. Man rolled down his window and said, Rabbi, he just lost his son. He said to me, I'll never forget it, Rabbi. We accept what God does. What a pella de gezach. It's a statement not of a person who went through Chayvus HaLevavos. Not of a person who was Rosh Hashiva for 70 years. A wonderful, wonderful Pashat Yid. Zakravotna Pashat Yid contains items and objects and concepts that Gedolim don't contain. A Pashat Yid can make a simple cheshbon. This is what Hashem did. This is what Hashem wants. I accept what Hashem does. The Megadev did not have that ability to accept what God does. And when he didn't get a piece of land, a place to pitch his tent, as difficult as it was, he did the ultimate Aveira of blessing God. Speaking euphemistically. That's not tolerated in Kol Yisrael. For those people listening to the Divrei Chizuk on Friday, I'd like to add, what I'm about to say is fundamental. We alluded to it on Friday. When a tragedy happens in Kol Yisrael, we don't say why. Why did God do it? We don't have Nevi'im. We accept it. Very difficult, pain, crying. What can we learn from it? We do that. But the insight of being a Jew is that we accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. All Malchus Shamayim. Not easy. I didn't say anything about the word easy. Not pain-free, not painless, painful. But we accept it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was a Havamina that Chorus means go from one Mokum to another Mokum. I won't have a Mokum, I won't have a place to pitch my tent. That's Chorus. The Megadev felt he had no place to pitch his tent. It's a terrible feeling, it's full of pain. No Heter. Speaking euphemistically, no Heter to bless God. That's not the Jewish way. Every one of those people who came out of the Holocaust, the Gedolim came out. Unbelievable. They rebuilt Torah. In America, in Europe, in Israel, they rebuilt Torah. The The people who came out and remained observant, those pshutei am, a pashut yid became a choshev yid. I never put them together, but maybe that's a little bit the juxtaposition here. Moving from one place to another place is horrific. It's full of pain. It's equivalent to the Havamina Takaris, and in that respect, the Magali was right. How could I not have a Mokoyim? But your reaction was wrong. How can we understand what happened? 100,000 Yidden coming together to do Avodas Hashem, as we said on Friday. Who can understand such a thing? Jewish people go weiter. Doesn't mean we don't cry for all the Yisayimim in Klal Yisrael, all the Amonis in Klal Yisrael about as a result of this tragedy. And it's a tragedy. But we have the resilience. The Pasha of the Yid has the resilience and the power and the ability to go weiter. That's the lesson. Very hard lesson. No one wants to talk about this. That's a lesson. Okay, Rabbi Say, I'm wishing everybody at Tzlacha Rabbah, I'm wishing there should be no more days, no more events that start and end in such a tragic way. Okay, anybody have any questions, Rabbi Say, before we end the shiur? Okay, I'm wishing everybody at Tzlacha Rabbah then. Everything should be with gezunt for all of us. Kol tov, please, Rabbi Yisai, kol tov.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rabbi.